Sister Linda Goad told me when she came in, she said, well, we'll come back for more. And, well, I got some more, so y'all still coming, and it is what it is. These messages are pretty practical and pretty simple, and but boy, they're confrontational. And I've said this for a long time, what we're lacking in a lot of areas is confrontational preaching. And I think we need that. Convicting preaching, convincing preaching and theology is certainly something that's needed and necessary. And boy, God sure has dialed my number and all this too. Don't you ever think, man, I'm preaching down to anybody because I'm the least among you. I'm still a work in progress. All of us are, by the way. And but boy, I'm glad that God's word will show us exactly where. You know, sometimes sort of like you ever had a front end get out of a line on a vehicle? It don't take long to wire them tires out. And if you get to seeing something look a little bit different on that front end, man, you got to go to the tire shop, get that front end lined in. Well, sometimes spiritually, we can get out of line. And God used His word to get us lined. And you say, well, it ain't that big of a deal. I didn't even notice anything. Because when you're driving that vehicle, sometimes you don't even know till the tire gets so bad. And then you'll start realizing, but it's been running like that for a long time. But I'm glad the word of God will sort of steer us back in. God sure has helped me, and I hope it's helped you. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to read just a few verses tonight, and I will ask you if you would, if you're able to, if you would stand with us. In honor and reverence to the reading of the word of God, 1 John chapter 2. We're going to begin reading verse number 3. I don't know if this is fifth message. We've been dealing with the test of our faith. I'm going to try not to get bogged down in the ones we've already looked at. I got a few more to give to you tonight with the help of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible said, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Then verse 6 said, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Now let's pray. Father, we bow, Lord, in Your presence, God, again tonight. Glad, Lord, we can lean on You. Lord, I'm glad You put folks in our lives that we can lean on down here as well. Father, I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for Your word. Thank You for the good spirit, the good singing. Thank You for the good attendance tonight. Pray that You bless those that are here in attendance with us. Bless those that are watching by way of the live stream of the Facebook. Pray that You meet every need. Pray that You save lost sinners. But Lord, again, this message is catered to believers. And God, I pray that You draw us closer. Help this preacher to decrease. I pray that You put the guard of God before our lips tonight. I don't say anything be contrary to the will or Your word. Lord, just to have the preeminence in this service as we go on and move forward. We're going to give You thanks and praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people see Him. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We've been dealing with this subject for a week or so now. Multiple messages on the test of our faith. You could pull up, I guess you could call it the measuring stick. Again, a lot of folks, is there a gauge to tell, or is there a thermometer to tell, to gauge where we are spiritually? I believe this is one of them. Sort of goes along with sort of church etiquette that I preached several messages of in last year when we were still over in the gym in the Family Life Center. And this is just some practical areas of our life that God's told us. And I believe it's a measuring stick. And verse number 6 simply says, he that saith he abideth in Him, that's an individual that says, hey, I'm saved and I know Christ is my Savior, ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. That's the Lord Jesus. We're to walk as He walked. And what is a test, what is a measurement that we can measure that? Well, Jesus, we know according to Philippians 2 and other passages, we know the Bible said in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. He completely submitted unto the Father's will. He obeyed God. And understand, as He walked, fully submitted to the will of God, we're to walk in the same path. And again, don't give me that argument, that excuse, oh, well, nobody can do that. We're to strive for that, man. God told us to do it. He never tells us to do anything if we're not able to do it. I mean, He empowers us if we'll lean upon His power and if we've got a desire. It all starts with a desire, though. There's a six-letter word called effort. It works in the physical realm, and it works in the spiritual realm. Again, I hit this morning, spiritual apathy has crept into a lot of folks' lives. I mean, they're just satisfied and content where they are. They hadn't grown in years and don't care if they grow or not. But boy, God wants us to cultivate and grow, get the rough edges knocked off of us, and we're to walk as He walked. And God certainly will empower us to do that. But we looked at some of these things, and one of the greatest tests is this. We live down here amongst one another. And throughout the Bible, especially the New Testament, it says a lot about one another, how we're to treat one another, how we're not to treat others. And that's a true test of where we are. Again, you could tell if I say, you know, if you could measure yourself, where would you be? Well, preacher, I read my Bible. That's great. I pray. That's wonderful. I encourage all that. You attend the house of God. Wonderful. I believe in all that. All that is very, very important in spiritual maturity. But understand this, how we respond to people, how we treat people is a real true test of where we are with the Lord. You see, it's sort of like a building. You could go up and you could put straw all around the inside, make your frame, have a straw house on the inside. And you could put some veneer on the outside, something. You could make it brick. And that brick house might look great on the outside, but you don't know what's on the inside. You can't see it. They may be pigs in our wall and around. The outside looks beautiful because it's veneer. You just see the outside. You can't see on the inside. But God can see on the inside of our lives. We might put on the finest of the fine. You may put on your dress clothes on Sunday, and I'm all for that. I believe you ought to do the best you can. Ladies, men, we ought to look right. I think our attire ought to be right. But understand this, you can put stuff on the outside and appear beautiful to all men and still be not right in here. Does that make sense? But God looks inside of us and He knows. And a true test is how we treat others. We've looked already multiple. That one message, the first message we dealt with, was exclusively dealing with that subject, to love one another. That's what God expects us to do. Well, why should we do that? We are to walk in the paths of the Lord Jesus. Jesus loved us. He hate the sin, but He loved the sinner. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love one another. Again, that's natural. That's a natural thing. Just as a fish swims through the water. I mean, it's a frog jumps. Caitlin ain't here tonight, so I said, a frog jumps and goes ribbit, ribbit. As natural as that is to those critters, it should be as natural to the child of God to love one another. And the Bible tells us to do that. You say, well, preacher, I have a problem loving one another. That's a real test of your faith. It's a test of your faith. It sure is, and it lets you know where you are. Then the Bible said to lie not one to another. Again, we've dealt with all that. Don't embellish the truth. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. A lot of folks have a problem with that, even those that know Christ. Then the Bible tells us to speak not evil one of another. That's where a lot, let me just say this. That's where a lot of us fail. I'm going to say that again. I want everybody to get this. I know we've done hit it, and we're going to hit it again. It says, speak not evil one of another. That's where a lot of us fail. Because it's easy to get on the bandwagon. And probably even today, somebody may even spoke evil of somebody. May have had some roast preacher for dinner. I don't know. But I'm just saying, speak not evil one of another. God tells us to do it. And if you do it, then that's a test of where you are. You're not spiritually mature. I don't care if you've been saved 60 years. You're still a babe in Christ. Yeah, man. Speak not evil. The Bible goes on to say, grudge not. We're not to hold grudges against people. And boy, it happens. And I've seen this more often than not with land. Land or property, or somebody dies. And I've seen folks just go, I mean, apes and nuts over property. Even God's people. And they get upset. I've even seen families leave the church because the blood relatives couldn't even sit in the same building one with another. You ask them, oh yeah, both of them saved. You sing the song, oh how I love Jesus. They both be singing, but they can't even speak to one another. Why? They holding a grudge because somebody got a better chunk than they, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. All this stuff is stuff. It's going to melt with fervent heat one of these days. Boy, we certainly need to keep the main thing. Don't get caught up in this temporal stuff. The Bible still said we're pilgrims and strangers passing through this land. Don't put those tent stakes down too deep. This is a temporal place. Thank God, I'm going to a city whose builder and maker is God. We're going to leave all this stuff behind. So don't get entangled with the affairs of this world down here. The Bible said to grudge not. Then he said to hate not one another. We don't need to do that. That's the opposite of loving. We're supposed to love. God said love one another, but don't hate one another. And he tells us to do that. Then he said, don't bite and devour one another, lest you be consumed. Again, somebody takes a bite, then they take a bite out of them, then back and forth. Before long, you're consumed. And don't do that. Then he said to forgive one another. You know, you'd think that the Christian, the believer, a person that is saved, it'd be just as natural as loving one another would be to forgive, because Christ has forgiven us of a debt we could never repay. But sometimes it's the most challenging thing for believers is to forgive when somebody does something to them. Then the Bible said to pray one for another. Then we're to edify one another. In other words, we're to build one another up. We should be in the construction business, not in the demolition business of tearing down. But some folks major on that. I mean, really, you know, there's some folks, they're not happy, Brother Harold, unless they got drama. Some folks just thrive on drama. But we're to edify and build up and not tear down. Then we're to have compassion one of another. You see somebody hurting, just sort of like we dealt with today, we ought to move with compassion. The Lord Jesus sure did. He looked out on that crowd and he was moved with compassion. The Bible said, because they fainted, they were scattered abroad as a shepherd. I believe that's about maybe Matthew 13, somewhere around in there. But just to understand, we're to have compassion. Then we're to use hospitality. Let me ask you this, and again, that word hospitality, that's literally a fond of guest. It's not what are you doing here mentality. I want to ask you this question. Every member, and some folks are not members, some of you still trying to figure out, I guess, and that's cool, that's all right. We never pressure, I've never begged anybody to join Faith Community Baptist Church, and I ain't going to start it. But this is for all of our members. What if your hospitality depended on a first-time visitor coming back? Would they come back? Now, just think on that just a minute. To all of our members, and it'll work at any church, if your hospitality and your friendliness, if it depended on you alone, would the first-time visitors that came last week, would they be back? You say, when I preach, I didn't even talk to them. Well, you told on yourself. Hospitality! It's a true test. Where we are. Again, some folks got the spiritual apathy. Man, I'm content where I've been here 30 years. I've been here 20. I've been here 50 years. I've been here 50 years. I ain't got to go reach out. Hey, God saved us. It's a life of service. We're to be hospitable one to another. Fond of guests. Then we're to forbear one another. Again, that word just simply means to put up with and to endure. That's what that word forbear. And we're to forbear one another. Again, maybe somebody within the church, and I'm sure it's like this in every church there is. Again, church made up of imperfect people. There may be some folks that you might not go out and eat lunch with or eat supper with, but God said we're to forbear them. Why? Because we're on the same team. We're on the same team. And I mean, some of you may pull for a different sports team than me, but guess what? We got one common denominator. That's the blood of Jesus. We know Him as Savior. You may have a little different views than I do. You may have a different liking about this, that, or the other, but understand, we're on the same team, man, and we've got to understand this, that sometimes we just got to forbear or put up with and endure certain folks. That's part of it. But also, we got to be subject one to another. That word subject just simply means to be under obedience unto, to be a subordinate. That's basically what that literally means. But in order for you to do that, you've got to get rid, I hope nobody's got this, but you got to get rid of the big I, little you mentality. There's no big I's and little U's in the work of God. None. I know you say, when I preach, I got seniority. I've been saved 20 years. I've been saved 30 years. Well, the sad reality is this. Some folks just been saved a year are more mature than those been saved 30 and 40 years. Because they love one another. They lie not. They don't speak evil against everybody. They ain't holding grudges. They're forgiving. They're praying. They're edifying. They're showing hospitality. Amen. We got to be subject one to another. Then we got to bear one another's burdens that we looked at this morning, and then comfort one another. And boy, I'm thankful for the comforting that we know the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God is the God of all comfort. But God uses us. We go through situations in our life. God helps us with. He brings us through those situations so we can be a help to somebody else going through the same thing. Use the illustration, just like cancer. I can't sympathize with cancer with you because I've never been through that personally. Now, we'll be there for you and we'll help you. But some of you that God has healed from cancer, you can certainly say, hey, I've been where you are. Some of you facing surgeries that I've never had, but you've been through it. You came through it. You can be an encouragement to somebody that's dealing with that. Some of you have lost or you've had a loved one that has passed on. You've had family members that have, maybe parents that have passed on, and I can't sympathize with that, but you can. And as God comforted you, you can comfort them. God tells us to do that. We ought to be constantly. Sort of like being up in there was a fella that those old ships, they used to be somebody that sat up on top. I don't know what that's called. I guess the mast. He'd be up on the mast and he'd be looking out for shoals. Especially years ago, even before the lighthouse, somebody would be up and they would be looking and they would be making sure there wasn't any rocks on the horizon and they'd shout down to turn one way or the other. We as believers ought to be looking out because there's people all around us that are sinking. There's folks all around us in the ditch. Yeah, we ought to bear one another's burdens, but we ought to comfort one another. You know somebody's going through a hard time in their life? Hey, why don't you call them? Be somebody to lean on. Comfort somebody. God tells us to do that. Well, preacher, I ain't never really thought about that. Well, you ought to look out for folks. Again, not to seek revenge, but to restore individuals that are hurting and in situation. But we got to get, this is number 16 tonight. This is a new one. I ain't give this one to you yet. I got a couple, maybe four, and I don't know. We'll see. It may finish up Wednesday night if we don't finish tonight. But these are practical messages. They get in our stuff. They get to where we live. Right down where the rubber meets the road. Again, you can say, well, you know, I'm pretty spiritually mature. I know all the books of the Bible. I know this, that, and the other. But how you treat others? How do I treat others? That's the true test that God tests us. Are we walking as He walked? The Bible tells us, this 16th one, that we're to prefer one another. You know what it means to prefer? Well, listen to this. Romans chapter 12. Then I'm going to Philippians 2 here in just a moment. But in Romans chapter number 12, the Bible said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Now, he said two things in there about one another. First of all, we need to be kindly affectioned one to another. And that ain't even one I've even got down, but we're supposed to be affectionate one to another. And brotherly love. Then he said, in honor, preferring one another. It basically means we ought to treat others as more important than ourselves. Sometimes that's hard, ain't it, Brother Cameron? I mean, most time we're worried about, well, man, what am I going to get out of this, Brother Howard? You know, what kind of deal am I going to get out of this thing? What's my crowd going to get out of it? What's my family going to get out of it? We see somebody that prefers one another, you forget about yourself. Your focus is on others. Remember, you're out looking. See, the Christian life as a believer, we're to be a servant. We're to serve people. That's what God saved us. He saved us. We're to be the light of the world. Get that. We're to be the salt of the earth. Understand all that. But we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. We're to serve others, and we're to prefer one another. In other words, we're to treat others as more important than ourselves. And boy, there's a lot of folks, and pride. Pride's kept a lot of people from getting saved, number one. Pride has. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18 tells us that. But pride keeps a lot of people from serving the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. Why? Because they won't condescend down to men of low estate. They won't do it. And I'll read a verse right here to prove that to you here in just a second. But Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And isn't it interesting, within that context, it jumps right into what the Lord Jesus was. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, we're to walk as he walked. He humbled himself, and we got to humble ourselves. And when we look at others, we need to prefer one another. We ought to treat them better than we treat ourselves. Another true test of where we are. I mean, that's difficult stuff, ain't it? It really is. But you look at folks, and a lot of times we'll pass judgment of somebody. I mean, we just use this. Somebody might say, well, look at that bum over here on the street. Well, we all look at that individual better than ourselves. From a servant mentality. Amen. We ought to do that. Now, we don't like to think about that because it's all about me and this, that, and the other. But we're to prefer one another. We're to humble ourselves. And I tell you, there's a lot of folks that have trouble in that. There's a lot of preachers that have trouble in that department. Amen. A lot of folks just feel like they're the dictator. And understand, the Bible's real, real clear about that. 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're not lords over God's heritage. We're an example unto the flock. That's what we're supposed to be, Brother Danny. Examples unto the flock. But we got to prefer one. And you know how difficult it is? Because some of y'all don't understand. Brother Danny know what I'm talking about. But in pastor, you got to understand this. We've got a multitude of people of different ages. You got some folks that ain't been saved very, very long. You got other people that have been saved a long time. And there's a lot of people that's got a lot of different stuff. They really a lot of different stuff going on. And you got to minister to all of them. But here's the thing. To prefer one another, I always try to, and I hope you feel like this, because I'm not preaching down to nobody. I'm going to shake your hand at the end of the day. I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. But listen, I don't want to treat Tony no better than I do Brother Lynn or Sister Mary. Show impartiality. We're all on the same team, amen. But understand, we're to prefer one another. I got to move on. That's the 16th one. I want you to get the 17th one. This one is real, real similar to preferring one another. But the Bible said we're to be of the same mind one to another. The same mind one to another. Romans 12, verse 15. Said, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. So you got two different scenarios. You got somebody rejoicing, the Bible said rejoice with them. That same case, you got somebody over here that's weeping, we're to weep with them. Now listen to what it goes on to say here in Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You see, the Bible tells us to condescend to men of low estate. In other words, I've already hit on this a little bit. That's the big I, little you mentality. It's not to look down on somebody else because they're less fortunate than we are. Maybe because they're dirty. Maybe because just different factors of life. We are not to look down on that crowd. Again, we got to consider ourselves, understanding if it were not for the good and merciful grace of God, we'd be in a worse shape than they are. But we got to condescend to men of low estate. Understand that we are to have the same mind one to another. You know, I jotted this down. Christian fellowship is more than a pat on the back and a handshake. Now chew on that just a minute. Christian fellowship is more than just a pat on the back and a shaking of the hand. True Christian fellowship is sharing in the burdens and in the blessings of those around us. That's how we grow together as a unit and as a core. And boy, thank God, I'm pro-local church. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is pro-local church. Every individual ought to have a good local church, a good local home where you ain't bouncing around here, there, and the other. Get in there somewhere. Get solid where the Word of God is preached. It'll help you. But once you get in there, get in the same mind one to another. If somebody's rejoicing, rejoice with them. Maybe 2 weeks later, maybe they're weeping, weep with them. That's how we grow together. Be the same mind, one to another. What the psalmist said in Psalm 133 and verse number 1, how good and how blessed, pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity is something that's absolutely needed. And I thank God for the unity that we have here at Faith. Is faith perfect? No, it is not perfect. It's made up of imperfect people. But thank God for harmony. You got to have harmony for the ministry to go forward. You got to be of the same mind, one to another. We, again, it's more than just a pat on the back. It's more than just a handshake. We share in the blessings. We share in the burdens of individuals within this church. And we are to lean upon one another. Some of you, no doubt, you went through some hard times. This has been a long time ago. Amen. Some of you went through some hard times here recently. But you know what we do? We grow together. Some of us had some good things to rejoice about. And not that long ago, all of us, we can rejoice in a lot of things. There's burdens and there's blessings. But it ain't it good to know that God gives us a refuge here on the side of the road, 50 years in almost, at the end of December, where we can grow together. We can enjoy the blessings of God. Yeah, we bear burdens one with another. But we're to be the same mind, one to another. Don't feel like you're better than anybody else because the ground's level at the foot of the cross. I say this, when a church decides that it only wants a certain high class of people, well, it has missed the mark. It has missed the mark. Big time. Hey, I still believe in whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The crowd that Jesus wants to save, that's the crowd we want. Well, who's that? That's everybody. Amen. Whosoever. We want the whosoever's. But the sad thing is, you can go into a lot of places and not folks are not in the same mind one to another. Let me ask you this question. Don't answer, but you know the answer to it. I mean, if you can't get in the same mind, there's no humor, there's no harmony, there's disunity within individuals that are not in the same mind one to another. And individuals and believers can't even get along. How in the world are they going to face the enemy, Brother Dennis? How in the world can we face the enemy if we can't even get along with one another? We're to prefer one another. We're to be the same mind one of another. I'm moving on. This 18th one, we're to consider one another. We use that word every once in a while, be considerate. And, boy, that's something that's missed just in the secular world. I mean, if people look at us strange. We go out west or not even there. Even here in Winston-Salem, here around close, if you open the door and you hold a door for a lady or a man, that's just being considerate. A lot of folks don't do that. Some of the younger generation, some even my age, man, they open a door, they never look back. I mean, it hit. If there's an older lady walking through, it'd knock them plumb back through the door. They ain't considerate. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, sir. Or whatever I just said. You know what I mean? You go into places and now the big deal is, I told y'all about that deal not long ago over there in King. Christy wasn't with me yesterday. But there's a fella that he come over there and he was my waiter yesterday. And he came over there and he delivered my stuff. And I said, yes, sir. And I said, no, sir. Now, he was mixed up. He was confused. He thought he was a her, but he was a him. And I addressed him with his natural birth, and I said, yes, sir. And he sort of looked at me strange because I guess he wanted me to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. But again, I was not confused, and God ain't confused, by the way. I'm just saying be considerate. Be considerate with folks. We can say yes, ma'am. And that's in the secular world. But when it comes to believers, we're to consider one another. Be considerate. You see, there's a lot of folks that and I use this example, I guess, illustration, first thing came to my mind. We can talk about our van riders that come on the van. Be considerate of that crowd. Be considerate of them. Why is that, preacher? Because you don't know what they got to go home to. I remember Christy and I, we had taken, I'm just thinking, years ago we took some food to a family that was struggling, and I mean, they didn't have nothing. I mean, it was awful. Yes, the house smelled bad. I remember we took a bag of Doritos. And there was some Doritos in there, and we took it. And the little girl, if I'm remembering correctly, she got it out, and she said, "Oh, Doritos, we only get that on our birthday." And sometimes we talk about that crowd. Sometimes we might look down on that crowd. I'm going to tell you something, son. Jesus loves them. We ought to be considerate of that crowd. You see, we ought to be considerate of others. Some of you came in here and we have no idea what you've dealt with today. We have no idea what you've dealt with this week. Some of the stuff you have to deal with, some of the stuff you have to put up with. We are to be considerate one of another. Amen. The Bible tells us that. Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And see, we're to consider one another when we come in to worship together. Even outside here, we ought to consider one another. If you know somebody's going through something, man, call them. Send them a card. Shoot them a text. Whatever these social media platforms, I mean, you face junk and all that stuff. And a Tic Tac, well, that's something we eat, I guess, whatever that is. It's some kind of candy. It ain't Tic Tac, it's something else, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Shoot them a message. Be considerate of people that are struggling. But you know what? When we come in, even here to the house of God, you know, our fellowship with God, we've got to understand this. It should never become selfish. What do you mean, preacher? Our fellowship and our worship of God, we don't need to make it about me. We need to be considerate of others. Amen. Read Revelation 4. Read Revelation 5. The scene is pictured in the heavenlies. Chapter 4, they're worshiping God as creator. Chapter 5, they're worshiping God as redeemer. I'm in that number that John the apostle saw while he was exiled, future tense there in the Isle of Patmos. He saw me as a believer, and we're united together in worship. And it wasn't about them, it was about him. Worthy is the Lamb. And you see, that's the important thing. And we got to consider one another, but understand this. There'll be folks, if you're not careful, that there's folks that would love to have the preeminence in every service, in every church. I believe you got to guard against that. The Bible even speaks about in 3 John 9, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." That word, or Diotrephes, you know what? He was wanting first place. You see, we got to be considerate of others. That's why the Bible still says, many that are first now are going to be last over yonder. Many that are last here are going to be first over yonder. And God said we need to consider one another. This last, and I'll give it to you and we're done. The Bible also tells us we're to exhort one another. Not only are we to prefer one another, which simply means treating others as more important than ourselves. We're to be the same mind one to another and have that fellowship. We are to bear the burdens and the blessings as we grow together in the grace of God. We're to consider one another. Because again, some folks, you have no idea what they deal with. But we are to consider one another. But then we're to exhort one another. That very next verse after Hebrews 10:24 that I just read you, verse 25, and you know this well, we say it often. The Bible said not forsaking, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now he said there in verse 25, it's pretty simple to understand, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Apparently some were skipping out and laying out of the local church services. And he addressed that. And he said we're to exhort one another. What does that word exhort? That means to encourage. We're to encourage folks. We miss folks, and boy, I'm telling you, we even talked about that right before the service. I mean, nowadays, you want to reach out. If somebody's not here, you want to reach out and say, "Hey, I missed you." But then again, too, you don't want to offend nobody because somebody still may be scared of COVID, but I don't know, they go everywhere else. But we're still to exhort one another, to encourage one another. Well, what are we to exhort and encourage them to do? We're to encourage them to gather together. Amen. Some folks look at me and, of course, the last year, almost 2 years, it's hard. I mean, it's a hard balance. You want to protect folks. But I know what God said. God said the church is to gather together. It's a group of called out people. That's what the church is, ecclesia. And it's a balancing act. But now do you call and maybe offend somebody because maybe they're still scared. But then if you don't call them, well, nobody called and said they missed me. Nobody cares about me down there at the church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to catch 22. The Bible said that we're to encourage one another, the Bible said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The coming of Christ. Well, I don't know when Jesus is coming. Nobody else does either. My grandpa was looking for him. I guess he left out of here in 86, 86, 87, somewhere around in there. And he still ain't came, but he's still going to come. And that's our motivation for encouraging and exhorting one another, because we're to exhort and encourage one another by our presence. Now, I'm thankful for Facebook and the live stream for this part of it. Amen. Let me clarify. Where it can reach out to an audience, and we'd be foolish not to use that platform, Brother Tony. We'd be foolish not to use the technology that we have. And even by your own testimony, I've been there too in quarantine and all that other stuff. And I'm thankful for the live stream and the Facebook, but it ain't the same, honey. It ain't the same. Because we're to assemble together. There's something about being able to come over here and shake Brother Harold's hand. Now, if the camera's positioned just right, I can see the corner of his head. And if somebody's sitting over here like Petey, I can see the back of Petey's head. But it's a whole lot different being here. Where you can come, you can pat somebody on the shoulder. And I'm telling you, folks, we need this. We need to be together. And we're to exhort and encourage one another. Why is that? Because we share in the blessings and in the burdens together. That's how we grow together. But the Bible tells us we're to prefer one another. Treat somebody better than we'd even treat ourselves. We're to be the same mind one to another, to share in those burdens, share in those blessings. We're to consider one another. Be considerate. You don't know. Maybe somebody says something that maybe would. Don't hold on to that stuff. You don't know what kind of day. I'm not condoning maybe the way they said it. Maybe it wasn't a curse word, but just, maybe they were hateful with what they said. But don't hold on to that stuff. Be considerate. You don't know what they faced before they came in here. Or before you talk to them. Before you see. You don't know what kind of bag. Oh, they may have had a dress on. They may have had a suit on. But maybe their heart was broken, split in two, and come in. And maybe they said something maybe a little bit hateful. You thought it was hateful. Be considerate of that. But then let's exhort folks. And again, exhort folks to show up at the house of God. I mean, God, that's why we do. And listen, folks, that's why we do the 9 o'clock service. I mean, there's a lot of folks say, man, why don't the preacher just quit? The 9 o'clock service, ain't that many coming. I don't care if there's just one. And that's my mentality. I don't even have to have the sound room. It don't make no difference which electricity ain't no problem. But if we had to just come in here, if just one wanted to come, and that's what was keeping them coming to the house of God because of fear, then we're going to keep the doors open. Amen. And we're going to preach to them. Why is that? Because people need the assembling of themselves together. And there's really no excuse right now for anybody not to attend. And I'll say that again. There's really no excuse for any of our crowd, former crowd, present crowd, there's no excuse for any of them not to attend. Now, we've got Sunday school, we've got preaching, we've got a mass required. We offer all kinds of things. I'll get in trouble here, but anyhow, come on, Sister Savannah, that'll hurry me up. We started that mass requirement, folks saying, well, preacher, you know, I was trying to exhort folks, and we was going through all that mess and trying to figure out what to do. We're still over in the gym. Well, preacher, we'd come if everybody wore a mask. All right, I hear you. All right, we'll do a 9 o'clock Mass required. Well, they never showed up. Still ain't showed up.
There you go.
I called and encouraged them again. Well, preacher, that's just a little too early. I mean, you know what? Sometimes, well, all the time, unless we're physically sick, we do exactly what we want to do. Exactly what we want to do. And I ain't trying to be mean. I ain't trying to be ugly, but I know this. That's what God said, and that's a true test. A true test. Exhort one another. Consider one another. All these 19 up to this point, we ain't done. If the Lord will give me some more, there's some more in there. I just ain't got it all together. That's all I got tonight. But it's enough because I struggle in all these areas. I believe if you're honest, we all struggle in these areas. How do we measure up with all 19 of these? Some of you may have done checked me out a long time ago. Said, man, I feel bad after coming to church. I've even had people say that. Had one guy tell me, he said, man, I just feel bad after I come to church. Well, if it ruffles your feathers, I mean, sort of like the cat. Say, man, the cat gets all, you rub the fur the wrong way, well, turn the cat around. Yeah, man. Turn the cat around and the hair won't get all ruffled up. Amen. That's what God's trying to do. I ain't trying to be mean to nobody. I ain't preaching down to nobody. It is what it is. We are what we are by the grace of God. We're a work in progress. These messages we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes folks just tune out their radio. Boy, the preacher's talking to somebody else. Ain't talking to me. I'm talking to myself. We all a work in progress. But get rid of the spiritual apathy. This ungodly contentment of I'm fine the way I am. I'm just going to keep up. I'll listen today, but tomorrow I'm going to be speaking evil again. Where are you going? You measure up all right. And you still down here at the bottom. You're still a babe in Christ. And folks, God wants us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand tonight all over the house. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share your word. And God, I've done my best, Lord, to deliver the message of the hour. You know every situation, Lord, in our audience here, those at home. God, I beg and I plead, Lord, that you'd help us to be upon the mast in that sail to keep our eyes open because there's folks all around us. God, help us to be considerate. Lord, help us to exhort, not be condescending to folks, but God, help us to exhort folks and prefer others better than ourselves. God, help us to do these things. Help us to be of the same mind. I thank you, Lord, for the ministries of Faith Community Baptist Church. And I pray for those that are struggling, those that are hurting today, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rally around those that are rejoicing, rally around those that are weeping. God, help us to share in the burdens. Help us to share in the blessings. And God, we'll give you praise. We'll give you glory for everything that's done. Save lost sinners now tonight. Receive the preeminence, and we're going to thank you and praise you for we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, Many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.